I'm not a visitor. Stay a while. Stay forever.
This is The Boop Show, episode 218. It is July 23rd, 2019. Yep! Why won't that go down? Hey, everybody, welcome back to The Boop Show. It is Scott Johnson here with Brian Dunaway. Hi, Brian. Good morning. Hello. Afternoon. Whatever
Hi.
It is.
Hi. Good afternoon. Late afternoon. Good morning. It's time to do The Boop Show.
Is it?
That's what you
do. Is it?
Is it? Is it really time for the show? It is absolutely time for the show. It is time to talk about the video games we didn't talk about yesterday because we missed it because you got a sty in your eye.
I got a sty in my eye. Plus, I've been super busy. And it's no excuse. We should have still had a show, but it's my fault. I blame me, not Brian.
No.
But here we are making up for it. We're going to do it now. Current Geeks at 5. So this gives me plenty of room to get this one in. Then we do a Current Geek, and then you got a full days of programming right there in your pants. So enjoy.
Right there in your froggy pants.
That's right. Good to have you all here. Thank you for joining us. We got a lot of stuff to talk about today, and I miss talking about it, so now we're going to talk about it. Whoops, that didn't play right. Hold on. Play that again. All right, let's talk about the video games of the week. Brian, as you know, there's
what did you play, Scott?
Well, there's a lot of sales on Steam a lot, even though we're out of the summer sale technically. Still deals to be had.
I was on the way home and Steam actually said, "Hey, one of your games on your wish list is on sale." And I'm like, "Cool, sweet pudding."
Did you get it? What'd you get?
No, I didn't get it because this is it Moonlighter?
Moonlighter got an expansion and a sale, right?
Yeah, they got an expansion and a sale. And Epic is about to give us that game for free.
Yeah, that's true.
On their little Epic Game Store. So I was like, let me see what it's like free first before I purchase the additional content.
Well, at the very least, buy it for free. And then if you're going to get the DLC, get it over there where you've got the free game. That's fine. I already bought it like forever ago, so I've had it, and so now it's, you know, I'll just get it on Steam. But the core game's great. I love that game. I've talked about it on here before, other shows as well, and it's this weird combination of dungeon crawling, roguelike kind of business in a kind of 16-bit looking motif. Really nice animated stuff, really cool looking style and everything. But during the daytime, you go back to your little shop and you put all the shite that you found in the dungeon. And you try to sell it to people during this sort of like sales phase, and you lay it out all on tables. You decide what the prices are going to be. If somebody tries to buy it and has a frowny face because they don't like the price, you can drop the price. You try to find the perfect little price where they're happy to pay it, but you maximize your profit. And that's how you get gold to improve your town, your abilities, your guy.
This sounds like Flea Market Simulator or Jockey Lot, as we call it around here.
It kind of is that, except in Jockey Lot or... Flea markets. You don't go fight creatures at night in dungeons to get the stuff you're
don't
gonna sell.
You though you've never been to our Jockey Lot. It's exactly how you secure your goods.
I mean, to me it's like the Indiana Jones of video games. Like instead of him going to try to find stuff for museums or to take back to the college he teaches for, Indiana Jones is out getting relics and stuff that he can take back and then sell to the highest bidder in his store. That's kind of the idea, because at night you're this swashbuckling, you know, dude with weapons taking out bad guys and creatures and stuff, and then going back time and selling your wares. It's a very, very interesting loop, and I like it a lot. That game is really rad.
And if you're not familiar with the term moonlighting, that's something that you do that is not necessarily your primary job. It's something you do under moonlight.
Yeah, he's literally moonlighting at night.
Right.
And it's rad. Here's the thing. Go get it. It's going to be free on, when's it go for free next week?
Thursday, I believe it's the 25th, so just a few more days.
Couple days is all, yeah. Couple more days, boom, it's yours for free. You get it on the Epic Store, and happy will be you. But anyway, I see this I get a note that something was on sale. I don't know if it is now, but Gaia Beyond.
Gaia Beyond.
Yeah, have you heard of this at all? Is this a familiar thing to you?
No, I'm looking it up now to see if I've ever seen, because I hear a lot of names, so let's see.
Well, let me tell you a little
Gaia
bit about it.
Gaia Beyond.
It's a 2D space game.
Oh.
And what you do there, see,
Yeah.
Is you fly around in space and you do it in a 2D perspective. So it's kind of a top down thing. You're with your little 3D ship and you're surrounded by planets and asteroids and those are mineable asteroids, as you mentioned. Bad guys, good guys, ships of all kinds kind of floating around in space. And there's a story. There's RPG elements. You improve your ship. You get better items, all that stuff. But the big goal here is to follow through on this story and improve yourself and interact with characters and do quests and side quests and all of that. And deal with the horrendous artwork in the game.
I was about to say, there's some very interesting choices.
Oh, that's a really nice way of saying it's ugly. You can say it's ugly.
Well, I mean, it's kind of got that... What is that style that I'm looking at? Yes, it's your friend in junior high
that scratches images on his desk of like dragons and heavy metal bands.
Right.
It's that brand of work. And that's okay. I'm not bashing it per se.
Some of the stuff looks cel shaded, but not all of it. So
it's a little inconsistent. The art is the painterly stuff is pretty hard to look at. It's not a pretty picture. I will say that about it. Now, the outer space stuff in your ship, flying around, shooting stuff is fine. There's nothing wrong with that visually. Sound effects are great. Music's great. There's no VO really to speak of.
VO.
But it's incredibly cheap, made by a very small team. And I found myself completely enamored with it. I think it's great. The basic gameplay loop, which is, you know, anyone familiar with an RPG and you know, running quests and having to go talk to people on different planets, explore new space, that sort of thing, improve your weapons, whatever it may be, you're going to immediately grasp this and you'll know what the hell's going on and you'll be right in. It's not hard. It's not hard to follow. It's not easy either. I mean, I've died a couple of times, which kind of sucks, but it has this, I don't know, nice gameplay loop, and I'm more into that than I care about the cut screens or the crappy imagery or the terrible paintings of characters or any of that.
Right. I mean, maybe that's why your eye hurts.
Yeah,
Are you sure you didn't get it from this game?
Maybe. Totally could be. I don't know. That's a funny thing
to
say.
This game gave me sty eye. Yeah. I don't like it.
It really is ugly, and it's too bad because I think that the game itself has enough depth there that if somebody just came in with a fresh pen and just said, let me be your art director, let's do this right, this could be a very good-looking game. And there are a few of these kind of games out there. This isn't the first of its kind. It certainly won't be the last. I have two or three that are all in early access that are a lot like this game. This one's not in early access. It's a finished game. And was totally worth the price I paid, which I think it was like $10.
And there's no, and these particular people who are developing this don't even have necessarily a company name or developer name. They sound like a law firm of Florian Richter, Tobias Offermans, and Devondra Polly. So Richter, Offerman, and Polly bring you Gaia Beyond.
Yeah, I think they're just a group of dudes with names.
Right. Well, that's fine. It. Look, I'm not going to criticize this game for the way it looks. It looks way better than the game I've made. However, you know,
it could be a little better on the aesthetics. I will be the first to admit it.
Right.
But it's got it where it counts. And that's the gameplay. It's got good writing. I'm not running into bugs. It's not a buggy experience at all. Weirdly impressed with it outside of the art. Again, art is, you know.
Art is subjective, right? Because art is very much subjective.
Yeah. So it's good. I don't know what to say about what exact itches it scratches. I mean,
well, it's a space game. You occasionally come on this show and go, look what I did. I played a space game.
Yeah, but I don't mean that in particular because it's a more of a subgenre than that. Even I'd say if you like RPGs, if you like science fiction, and you like open sandbox style space stuff, this is definitely one of those. Yeah. I mean, this is going to tide me over until I get to play what I really want to play right now in space games, and that is Rebel Galaxy Outlaw, which doesn't come out until like the, 19th or something? What 9th? What is it next month? Crap.
Let's see. January, February,
March. Rebel Galaxy Outlaw release date. There it is. Okay, it comes out on the 13th. So I've been waiting for that forever. I fully expect that to scratch every possible space game itch I have at the moment. This will get me by till then. It's a fun little romp. If you like any of the things I described, you'll probably like it too.
Right.
So check it out at home if you find yourself interested in this silly game that I played. Gaia.
Silly.
Gaia Beyond. G-A-I-A Beyond. Right. That's the name of the game. And I like it a lot. All right, Brian, tell me.
How much do you like it?
A lot.
Oh, a lot?
Yeah. Right. You know what a lot is? Like, let's see. How much is a lot? Hold on.
It's more than a little.
No, it's like an actual amount. Hold on.
Oh, a so lot. Is this like a bundle of sticks? It is a lot.
Well, yes. We'll not talk about that in particular, but yes, it's like a bundle of sticks. Hold on. Here it is. A lot is a vague phrase. Yes, we know that. Okay. If you say, how much is an actual lot? People will tell you that this website doesn't load. All right. Well, never mind. I won't be looking that up. Brian, tell me about the Gears 5 tech test, which you took part in as part of an Xbox Game Pass Ultimate thing that you have.
Correct. So I got the Ultimate, which is that means that I can play these games both on the Xbox, which I have, and on the PC Windows 10. Mm-hmm. So I took advantage of a great deal. I'm all hooked up until next March on the Ultimate, and so I've been taking advantage. I usually play small indie games, but anytime I hear tech test or demo, you have my attention.
Yeah.
Because I like to see how you're really screwing up your game. And so I did just that. I got the Gears 5, which is Gears of War Part 5. They've shortened it down to just Gears. If you're not familiar with Gears of War, it's a third-person shooter game that mostly focuses on like cover combat, where you're hiding behind things a lot, which I love, because if you give me the choice between picking really cool armor or picking a really good, almost, you know, where you got to find the best cover as you advance forward with your troops, I love those kind of things. That feels real to me, unlike a lot of other shooter games, first-person shooter, where you just run with no care for your survival, just run straight up to other people and shoot them in the face.
Nice.
I guess that's for some people.
Yeah,
I like to take it to the cover. So I've tested a little bit. I've played just a little bit of Gears of War in the past. I've never been big into Gears of War because it's always struck me as trying to be ultimate dude in badassery. Yeah. And that's kind of where they're at. It's an alternate reality or an alternate Earth called Sera, where our characters live. And it's always had really good story writing, but it's always wrapped into this a lot of very aggressive language that they use, the characters use. The stories, like I said, they're fairly interesting if you can get past all the aggressive language. The thing I liked about Gears 5, there's still a little bit of aggressive language, but a lot of it is just fun.
This is multiplayer tech test, though, right? You're not going to get the full story.
Yeah, this is
story.
Just, yeah, the game is just a multiplayer tech test. They've got a couple of different modes. I played mostly, I went through the boot camp, which is this training, like you would think. Then there's an arcade mode where you just kind of hop in and you just run, shoot, and jump the best you can. But the fun part was when I got into the multiplayer part, which was when we got to play King of the Hill in Escalation. You're playing Unreal Tournament.
Yeah,
you
know that constantly.
Yeah, there's a lot of tie-in here with that game. And so
there was a time where that's all I played, by the way.
Yeah, me too. Yeah, me too.
I loved Unreal Tournament. Gosh dang.
Loved
it.
That game.
Well, don't
so
forget
much.
So Cliffy B, creator of the Unreal Tournament series for Epic, went on to make this for Microsoft, so it's the direct lineage there for sure.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's the reason why it feels like that. So I got to play a little King of the Hill. I didn't care for the King of the Hill mode as much as I like the Escalation. Escalation is kind of like King of the Hill, except you gotta manage like multiple spots.
You were hoping Hank Hill was there and all his friends.
I literally thought he was gonna be, you know, grilling with some propane, and you know, and Boomhauer's gonna be there. Dang old man, just talking about settle down, man. And but no, none of that
Bobby.
Happened. Oh, what happened? Narrow urethra. All right, so I played mostly Escalation during the tech demo. And I really like, I like that. That's nothing new really, but I just like how they balance this. You're playing either as one of the cogs, you know, as it's supposed to be, tongue in cheek cog as part of the Gears of War, yeah. Or you're part of the Swarm, the most recent incarnation of the bad guys, if you will. And I mostly played the cog side. It's funny because if you've ever played Gears of War, you know how heavily they rely on Marcus. He's like, he was central to the first two or three.
Marcus Phoenix, get over Marcus, here!
And so, you know, he was in the center. This time they're supposed to be, and they didn't show this in the tech demo much, this time the protagonist is supposed to be a new character. And I didn't play her as much as I played, I think his name was Dale. And he just cracked me up because that's who you play in the boot camp. He was just so silly and just so lighthearted and aloof.
So King of the Hill, like you're saying King of the Hill had Dale in it. That's what you're saying.
Pretty much. Yeah. Okay, yeah. Great. I think his name was Dale. Anyway, it was funny because I knew I was playing with people who played this game before, because when you pop in, your squad's like, I think either five or six people. And when I popped in, I was the only Dale there amongst four other Marcus's. And I'm like, this is weird. We need more variety in these characters, because I feel weird right now hanging out with all these Marcus's.
Is this you playing that I'm watching, by the way?
No. Okay. I actually did capture some game footage. You can see me on YouTube playing this, but I didn't separate my gameplay from my video footage, and so I didn't want to do that to you with all my little commentary and little ha-ha's and jokey jokes. You wouldn't appreciate that.
Sure. Maybe I would, though. I don't know.
Hey, am I would. But so, yes, I can't wait for Gears 5 to come out. It looks like so much fun. It's a lot. I'll call the characters less beefy. If you've ever played any of the past games, the characters are like these, you know, they're like, they're all swole up.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
To just, you know, hysterical proportions. These characters are a lot more agile. You know, they're still beefy. But they're it's toned down some. Maybe that's what I'm looking for. They've taken and they've made a really the visuals look really nice. I won't say beautiful, because it's not really a beautiful environment, but the depth and richness of the graphics is beautiful. How were the graphics? They were beautiful.
Oh, look at your throwback to Extra Life Radio there. Nice work.
That's right. Yeah. How were the graphics, Scott?
Yeah, they were great. They were great graphics. All right. Well, and so this ends when, and when does the actual game come out? Do you know any of that info?
The tech demo ended the 22nd, which was yesterday. However, they're doing it again this weekend. So if you've got the Xbox Game Pass, you have access to this. Or if you pre-order the game, you'll also have access. And I think you get it 5 days early.
Yeah.
Before
this is coming to PC released. As well. So watch for that.
It's coming. Yeah, this is, I think, the second Gears, maybe the third Gears that has seen itself on the PC as well as the Xbox. I think it started out on the 360. This one, I have Gears 4. I didn't play it much, but after playing the tech test, I think I'll go back and kind of bathe in the story a little bit before the most recent one comes out.
Yeah, I'll bet you 4 plays
I'm sure I'm going to be disappointed.
Well, I don't know if you'll be disappointed, but I'll bet it plays. I bet mechanically it feels the same. It's not going to be that different.
You're probably right. I love the and some of the weapons. I really love the weapons in Gears. They're not like they're just good, solid weapons. They're not over the top, which is funny because the characters are over the top, but the weapons are just, you know, they're functional.
Right.
They work.
Free Andrew says in the chat room, aren't all the Gears games on Game Pass?
It could be possible Free Rangers. I'm unsure.
I don't know. I mean, the PC on the PC side, I definitely don't know. But on the Xbox side, I think that's true. I know that Gears 1 and 2 are backwards compatible, so you should be fine there. Right. Yeah, I think they're right. Only four is on PC. 5 is coming as part of the Game Pass. In fact, that was a game that they used both at E3 and since in their advertising material to like push you toward Game Pass. So.
And if you want to pick up 4, they're having a lot of good deals on 4 for like $5. I've seen it several places. I picked it up for about $5. I think off CD keys.
That's cheap.
Yeah, it's cheap.
Cheap, cheap. All right.
Cheap, cheap.
There you go. My second game of the week is, I don't know if you'd call this an indie game. Probably not. But And I'm pretty sure I've talked about it before. I don't remember now for sure if I've talked about
it. I thought we talked about the first one. Did you talk about the second one?
That's the part I don't remember. So the game I'm going to tell people about, and it's not my first time to it. I'm just getting back to it. And boy, am I glad I did, because apparently there was a huge change I wasn't aware about, and it's super awesome. The game is Pillars of Eternity 2. And the full name is Pillars of Eternity 2. Deadfire.
Deadfire.
Now, you're like, what's this, Scott? Well, like Pillars of Eternity 1 is a bit of a throwback to an old kind of RPG from the 90s. If you remember playing Baldur's Gate or any of those games at the time, what was the Icewind Dale? That was another one. All based in the D&D stuff. I think that was using, version 3 of D&D rules, whatever it was. But the idea was that you had this sort of top-down computer RPG experience, and you're moving around the world and doing your thing with your group of guys, and you're fighting stuff and whatnot. Obsidian, famous for, I think, they're famous for a lot of games, but my number one game I ever played that they made was Fallout New Vegas. I think that is the best Fallout game still to this day. Yeah, and it's amazing.
It absolutely is, as far as playtime that I put in. But I'll tell you, I know Fallout 76 has got a lot of crap.
Yeah.
But, I've kind of muddled through, and it's still got problems, but there's a lot of fun to be had there.
Are you still playing that then? You're giving and putting some time in?
Yeah, I'm putting it in a little bit of time here and there. Not putting in as much as I would like, but because I have another friend of mine who is heavy into it. He is like, this is the best game ever. And I'm like, all right, settle down.
Yeah, calm down there, buddy.
We'll play it, but, I thought I had Deadfire, but I don't have the Pillars of Eternity. By the way, also, every time I hear Pillows of Eternity, since I live in the South, I always think people are talking about something to put your head on.
Yeah, pillars.
Pillars of Eternity. That's what you lay down in when you get in your coffin. Y'all, that's your Pillars of Eternity.
Y'all put your head down on a pillar. I played the first one. It was a Kickstarter game, one of the biggest up to that point on Kickstarter. Number of years ago, it finally came out. I played the hell out of that. It was great. It had its problems, but it was pretty good. This is, I think, it's superior in every way. They advanced a lot of the systems that already worked well and made them even better. They cleared out some of the stuff that didn't work so well. And I'm not going to get into the story, but the story continues from the first game. You don't need to know it, though, to get going. It's one of those games that do a great job of saying, well, if you're a new player, just get in. We'll fill in the gaps as you go. It does a great job of doing that. I love this kind of game. I'm a huge Baldur's Gate style sort of CPG or CRPG, whatever they used to call those. RPG, top down, have a whole team that you control. Everybody's got a job to do. You can pause it and be real strategic. This is nothing new. And Pillars of Eternity.
What's my job?
This game did well. It's not like I'm here to tell you anything new. It reviewed well. People love it. What I didn't know is this. They've been updating it. Now, people update video games, so I get that. That's not that weird. But where they really have gone the extra mile is they decided to add a turn-based mode.
Oh.
And the way it works normally is Baldur's Gate style, where if you want to pause, you hit the space bar, and then you tell a bunch of dudes what you want them to do. And then they'll go kind of do that, and they do it with timers and dice rolls behind the scenes. You don't have to watch that. But they look like they're fighting in real time, but that's what you're doing. You're signing them to go do their next actions, right? Kind of D&D style.
Yeah, yeah.
Then they go, you hit spacebar and you undo it, and they all go do their thing. Then you get it spacebar again and kind of decide if you want to change somebody's action or move somebody around or do whatever you want to do. This game is exactly like that. So was the first one. However, they added a turn-based mode, which changed the control scheme completely. To be character at a time, well, turn-based. You know what turn-based is. I don't understand that.
Yeah, you take a turn, right?
Yeah, you take a turn in the game. And it's much more tactical. I vastly prefer it. And you can do everybody's move, or you can just do your own characters. Or there's lots of options for that. The only downside is you have to start a whole new game. You have to begin again. I was okay with that because I'd been so long away from it that I'd kind of forgotten a bunch of the story. So I'm like, you know what? Let's get the full experience again. Plus, I kind of want to roll a mage, wizard mage type character this time. So let's start over. And I did. And I'm already further than I was the first run. And the turn-based mode is awesome. It feels great. It feels really well implemented. It's exactly what I wanted. And it turns
no wonder you had trouble with the art in the other game. If you played this in the same week as the other game, because one of the things I love about Pillars of Eternity. The one of the things I love about it is one of the things I love about these type of games is even though you're kind of God mode up above everything, you know, kind of looking down, there's so much to see. And it's odd that you can have an immersive experience with gameplay at that kind of angle. It's always kind of blown my mind. It's so simple to have a first person shooter immersion experience, right? Because it's kind of like looking out of the character's eyes. But when you're looking down at something like this and you're going, and you can actually, these little minion characters of yours, they if you can get involved and invested with that, that's an amazing
thing. Yeah, it's cool. Here's the other thing I like about it. It's voiced everywhere, all of it. So
voiced everywhere.
You click on a dude, he talks to you with a voice actor. There's a narrator behind the scenes who describes the scene the whole time. And by the way, the entirety of the voice cast are the entire Critical Role group.
Oh.
So Matt Mercer, Liam O'Brien, all the girls, everybody over there are in this game. And that was kind of a big deal at the time. They pushed that on the Kickstarter and stuff, but they're voicing this thing. So
that's great.
Your first companion guy is this big surly swordsmith guy, and he's voiced by Matt Mercer. So you got really professional VO happening. The sound work is amazing. It feels really good. The graphics engine took a major uptick from the previous one. The last one was a little stiff and a little bit static, in my opinion. This is much more fluid and beautiful. It's great. Now, some of you may be saying to yourselves, well, Scott, why aren't you playing Pathfinder Kingmaker? Or why aren't you playing Thronebreaker, or the Witcher Thronebreaker thing? I have those, and I will play them. But for whatever reason, playing Kingmaker made me want to go back and check this out again when I heard about the turn-based thing. That turn-based thing is what's keeping me here, because I really like that kind of combat. It's just kind of my thing. It may not be for everybody, and if it's not, you can certainly play it the other way. They give you both options, but I really, really like turn-based combat, so I'm sticking with it.
Right.
Anyway.
And so this game sits around, this game, you know, enjoys its well-priced self at, you know, around $50 most times. And even the sales usually aren't half price. The game came out last year.
Last year, I think.
Yeah, but since they do so much updating and they keep it so current, so fresh, is hard to find it. So if you see it at a good deal, pick it up. It's I think the lowest I've seen on Is There Any Deal is around, well, from a good place, a place you can trust, is probably around, I don't know, $30 or so.
Yeah, and you can find it. You can find it for, yeah, if you're sales minded for that, do that. Otherwise, I mean, it is a AAA new game. There's nothing about this that should be discount, really. The experience is big. Many, many, many hours of content here. Like, this is a polished, nice video game. And you can play with a controller, but I haven't tried it. I think this is on Switch soon. The Switch is getting this soon, yeah. Which surprised me a little. I don't know when that's happening, but that's happening.
I was going to say, that seems like it would be... That's a lot going on to...
I would think so, too. But apparently, the Switch is getting it. They're also getting Torchlight 2 soon, which is perfect.
Oh, well, Torchlight's not as bad. It's a little...
Yeah, I think it'd be fine. Plus, that thing came out, 2012? So
Main story, about 40 hours on how long to beat for Pillars of Eternity. And that's just if you're just doing the main story, hoofing it through. Completist can look at about 75 hours. So you're definitely getting your money's worth, even at the $50 full price.
Yep. And it scratches my D&D need when I'm not playing D&D. It's
I'm scratching my D&D, baby.
I like it, and people should play it. Again, it is called Pillars of Eternity 2,
Rage Fire.
The fire part.
It's Dead Fire.
Dead Fire. Jeez, I keep saying that word wrong. Dead Fire, and I love it. All right.
I'm loving it.
Let's talk about, you did want to make a mention of something called, you haven't talked about the Messenger yet. The Messenger. Tell me about it.
Ninjas everywhere. It's an action platformer, the Messenger is. This is actually another Xbox Game Pass. I didn't mean to play two Xbox Game Passes game this week, but I did anyway. I did it. And it's both on the Xbox and on the PC. I ended up playing this on the PC. It just felt better there for me. Controller game, action platformer, like I said. If you like those kind of those Castlevania kind of games, kind of looks like that. Kind of got that style, except it's deeper and richer. And you look at these, you look at it and you're like, wow, the love that went into the look of this game and the sound of this game. By the way, this is Devolver Digital. So what would you expect? Anything less?
No.
Not from Devolver publishing this game. No, that's right. Sabotage Studio is the actual developer. But the messenger, you're basically a ninja. And there's a rich storyline here, by the way. Apparently you're the only people that exist. There's a whole tribe of ninjas, and you're waiting for the hunter from the West, I think is what he was. He's like the hero from the West. I don't know why he's hero from the West, but he arrives on his big burning eagle, and he picks you, the character, the messenger. He picks you to deliver a message.
But you do it ninja style.
You do it ninja style, right? So this is a stupid game. It really is. I love it. I really hated it. I hated it. And I'm like, I hate this stupid game. This game is so freaking stupid. And then I started playing it some more, and I kept playing it. I'm like, dang it, I'm starting to like this game. Dang, gummit. It.
Everyone likes a good Metroidvania style scrolling game. Yeah. They like those.
Absolutely.
They're fun.
Absolutely. And that's why I was so excited. I was so excited because I was like, oh, Metroidvania, I could totally deal with some of that. And
this is 8-bit is shit, by the way. Holy crap.
Yeah, it's like 8-bit, 16-bit. It's very early, but it's got some amazing graphics. So it looks amazing. The sound effects are pretty fun, and the dialogue's a little bit much. Sometimes I felt like I was reading too much. It was a very slow start. I didn't feel very challenged at all in the beginning, and I felt like I had to go way too far before I started feeling challenged. And like my Metroidvanias, I like to feel like I'm being challenged right away almost. You know, you can give me a little bit of time, but once I actually got to the hard parts, and oh boy, it can ratchet up pretty heavy. It can get hard in spots, and I didn't get all the way through. I think I got about halfway through in the game, mainly because I started and I said, I'm not playing this for this week. Forget it. I'm out.
Yeah.
And then I came back and I said, let me take another look. And it was actually a pretty good.
This would be fun on the Switch. It's probably there, isn't it?
Absolutely. I think it's on the Switch, but it would definitely be great on the Switch. You definitely don't want to play this with the keyboard. I tried playing with the keyboard just for a minute. There's a very crucial move that is really hard to perform with a keyboard. It's where you have to traverse the platforms by jumping, hitting an object, and then jumping again. Mm. And that gets very difficult when you're trying to time this, with a keyboard.
I can see that.
Much better with control.
Yeah, I can see that. It looks good. I like these kind of games. Yeah. I mean, is it? There's no, doesn't appear to be a map. It's more like a Ninja Gaiden or, what's the other one? What's that ninja game that Sega made? Shinobi. Yeah. It's got kind of a Shinobi thing. A side scrolling.
There's a couple of times I'm like, this is kind of Shinobi-ish.
Yeah. Do you have shurikens? Do you just throw your little ninja stars?
You do, but you have very few. So at the end of each level, of course, is a boss battle, and the bosses are actually pretty fun. They have some pretty difficult. At first, you'll hit a boss and you'll be like, "Okay, I don't know how I'm going to beat this guy," but then once you figure out the pattern, you finally get to where you need to be and you beat the boss. And those throwing stars are pointless.
Yeah,
pointless. You throw them and you just. And what was worse is I really was getting frustrated because I was using the keyboard and I was on Windows 10.
Yeah,
and let me tell you, Windows 10. I don't know why the default is to have sticky keys.
Yeah.
But I hate you. I hate you. I hate you. I hate you.
Okay.
But okay. So I don't know if you know this, but if you hold down the shift key for a certain amount of time on Windows 10 machine, a little.
It'll go, whatever.
Trip.
Yep.
And then it'll say, did you mean to launch sticky keys? And of course, it throws you right out of the game.
Yeah.
But it also does it if you hold it down or if you hit it more than three times in a row.
Well, how could you ever play this though with a keyboard? This would kill me.
I wouldn't play with a keyboard. It's definitely an option, but I wouldn't do it.
Yeah, play with the mouse.
My controller at the time
controller.
was My controller at the time was dead. That was the only reason why I wasn't.
Oh, all right. Yeah, you don't want to.
But then I
put
it back.
Controller.
I got it hooked up.
This looks harder than one might suspect.
It is, like I said, it starts off almost as a sleeper because you're like going, this is easy. This is stupid. I'm not doing anything. I'm like, I'm only fighting like one guy like per screen. Mm. And I'm like, did I forget to put this on hard? And then all of a sudden, you know, all hell breaks loose. I'm like, what's going on? Ah!
Yeah. This,
mash buttons. It's curse.
Kind of intense.
Language.
Yeah. I like a challenge like that, though, in these kind of games. So as long as they don't make me start, how far back do I have to start if I die?
Oh, that's the thing. It keeps ratcheting up because in the beginning, like I said, it was like every two or three screens, there was a save point. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. Go to screens, save point. No problem. I'm like, okay, cool. You get very comfortable with that. And then all of a sudden, you get into this difficult area and it's like eight screens. And it's like, what happened? You had me at three and now I'm at eight.
Yeah, that's a little intense.
Yeah, but it like I said, it's pretty fun.
Are there monkeys shooting fireballs out of their mouth at you? Is that what those are?
There's the bad guys are a lot of fun. There's turtles. They like almost like Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, but they shoot fireballs out of their faces. And then there's also like some charging type turtle guys. And each like just like phases. You have to get past so many levels, you go to the next area, and then that new area has a totally different tone. And different bad guys.
Wow.
And you know, they kind of have similar ways that you kill the bad guys, but there's always a little bit of a change. It's like that. I especially hate Castlevania for introducing diagonal bad guys. I hate them. I hate diagonal bad guys when you only have, you know, like you can only shoot like straight ahead.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. And they're set so that when you walk into the room, they go diagonally for your face. I'm like,
yeah, no kidding. This all
and
looks,
that happens. That happens a
this
lot.
This really looks like something that's gonna make me scream and be mad and swear.
Oh yeah, yeah, it totally will. But it's good fun. It's a lot of good fun. And there's some new there's a new downloadable content that if you've completed the game, you can unlock this bit of the content. By the way, there's also an upgrade tree in this. You go so far, so many screens, you'll usually come across a merchant guy, and you go into this other dimensional portal thing, and he's in there, and he'll give you a little backstory to what's going on, and he'll sell you stuff and upgrade your equipment and that sort of thing.
Nice.
Ninja Claws. Ninja Claws are my favorite.
Go check it out. Game's called The Messenger. Available pretty much everywhere. All right. Tell me about, real quick, you wanted to mention this Wild Woods. What do we have here? What is this?
Oh, yes. So I was, I forget where I was at, but I ended up on itch.io, which I go to a lot because there's a lot of indie developers on there. There's a game. It is called Wild Woods. And did you ever play Team Fortress
2? Team Fortress 2? I mean, I played all the Team Fortresses.
You
from
played
the,
those games, right? So
yeah, I played the Quake mod back in the day, man. It was awesome.
Yeah, right? Yeah. So I'm talking about the more modern stuff. Now, I know there's other games that have done this, but I always think about Team Fortress when I think about that. And one of the modes in Team Fortress is escorting a, you know, like a cart.
Oh, it's payload escort. To a map. Yeah. This right, is the Overwatch is all about this.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So there's plenty of games that have done it, but I always felt like Team Fortress 2 did it the best. Anyway, so that's what this game is all about. It's top down, and you have a local co-op. There's no online. There's no multiplayer online yet because it's a small developer team. That's going to take a lot of work. And you play local couch co-op, and it's you and three other people, and you're these different animals, and it's a visually beautiful game, and you're escorting this horse carriage kind of thing, and on that carriage is a place to put things you collect, like I think it's supposed to be like fruits and things, and you put that in one of the baskets. So you have to, this cart, once you start it, the cart just goes on its own, and you run around. And, you know, you loot stuff. You're like, okay, I need the fruit, and I take it back and I throw it in the basket, and then I run and I grab some wood and I chop it up and I run and I throw that back in the back of it. And then I run and, you know, I get some more stuff, and I keep putting all these supplies in the cart. The reason why you're collecting wood is because there's a day-night cycle. And when the night hits, these badgers and all of the kinds of creatures try to attack your cart and you. And so you have to start throwing wood into the cart so that it'll like fire up and light so you can see the fight. And if you haven't collected enough wood, guess what? You're screwed.
Mm.
And that fruit I was telling you about, that's part of healing. So if you haven't been collecting that, you're not going to be able to heal quick enough.
That's what fruit does for you. It gives you some good healing fruit.
You need the fruits for the healing. So it's a very basic game, but it's very intense because it just keeps moving until it runs into like there's like a stopping points. It'll hit the horse will run into like a log and he'll just stop. And that gives you the opportunity to get together and get all your stuff back.
Sure.
Replenished after a big fight.
Clean
but
up.
It's just really smart how it's done. And it's a prototype right now.
Right.
A prototype.
Nice.
So itch.io Wildwoods. I joined their Discord channel. Those guys seem to be great. And they're making something that's going to be really fun when they get through. Oh, and the reason why I wanted to mention Parsec, I had never heard of Parsec, but somebody has suggested to play local co-op with people online. There's a service called Parsec. That allows you to do just that. You run a service locally on your computer, and it kind of gives you a screen share thing where other people on another machine, if they're running Parsec, they can join your game, and just like they're local, even though they're not.
So they're not playing; they're just
they're
watching
playing the game. They're watching. They're actually playing the game. So it kind of turns you into like a cloud game server.
Oh, weird.
It turns your machine into like a cloud game server.
I mean, the only advantage of that is what, couch co-op type experiences where
exactly. Okay. So if there's a game that doesn't really have, you know, online multiplayer, this kind of fills that gap.
Yeah, I'm looking at their stuff. It's interesting.
Yeah, I thought it was very interesting. I haven't tried it yet. I'm very interested in the idea though, because there's some co-op games and local games, especially older games, that didn't have, you know, the online component that I wouldn't mind playing.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd be into this. This looks neat. All right, well, nice find. That was more than a mention. That's like a whole new thing.
I didn't mean to go on so much, but I really did have a lot of fun with it.
I kid. All right, here's this guy.
It's me, Mario.
Time for us to play, hey, what's that game you played, and why does that sound familiar? That's what we do. We try to guess each other's game. It's called Guess My Game, and I'm going to play my clip my first. And Brian's going to try to decipher it. And decide if he knows what game this is. So, chat room, you can play along. Here is my clip. It's pretty easy, I think, but we'll find out. And it's long in case you need it. We don't need the whole thing, but if you need it to go on, it can. So
long in case you need it.
Oh, and 90s, mid-90s, right? Smack in the middle of the
90s. Mine was mid-90s, too. Maybe we picked the same game.
Maybe. Here you go.
Please listen to me. The Archbishop Lazarus, he led us down here to find the lost prince. Bastard led us into a trap. Now everyone is dead, killed by a demon he called the Butcher. Avengers, find this Butcher and slay him, so that our souls may finally rest.
It seems that the Archbishop Lazarus goaded many of the townsmen into venturing into the labyrinth to...
Any ideas?
Yes, this sounds absolutely like very familiar, like maybe early Diablo, maybe?
Yes, you would be correct. It is from Diablo. It is not only from early Diablo. It is the earliest of Diablo. It is Diablo 1.
Right.
Now, here's what's great about that file. I want to play a little top
again.
Have
you played the remastered thing?
I haven't. I looked at it and went, yeah, I'm not doing that. Diablo, I have a lot of fond feelings for it. Diablo 1 is not a game that holds up. It's got some cool stuff, but it's not great. Whatever. That was great in its time. It's just not great today.
Oh, yeah.
Here is, I want you to hear this again, this voice.
Please listen to me.
That sound familiar to you at all? You know who that is?
It does sound familiar. Is it, who is that?
That's Chris Metzen of Blizzard fame.
Yeah,
he would have been like 22, 23 years
old.
He was
so young, though. That sounds so young.
Yeah, he was like 23, maybe, at the time. And he was, I sent this over to him today via text. I said, was this you? And he confirmed it was totally him. And he said, boy, that brings back memories. So back in the day, even that early, way before Warcraft, World of Warcraft, that is, dude was all up in the little secret VO jobs he would do at Blizzard. So there you go. And enjoy. Ace Tiger says, I've never played Diablo. Can't afford to. Why?
Really?
What games are you playing?
Some of the newer stuff? Well, yeah, some of the newer stuff's not... Even the newer stuff, they had... on sale. Well,
it's just a game. You just pay... Yeah, it's super cheap. You just buy a game.
You just pay for it. I mean, it's not just cheese, man. You just use money.
Well, no, he's acting like it's like $300 a month or something. Oh, he plays Hearthstone because it's free. Okay, well, if you're all you're playing, if all you can do is the free-to-play stuff, I get that. I totally get that. Absolutely. I got good news for you. I think Diablo 4 might be in that vein, but I could be wrong.
Yeah. And we'll they have some really cheap deals on Diablo occasionally. I get it, man. It's tough to plop down $50 or $60 on a game. So sure. I get it.
But Diablo is often on sale these days. It's, you know, game came out in 2012. It's time. Good deals to be had.
Oh, yeah.
And it's great on PC. You can get it on Switch, console. It's fantastic on all the platforms. It's all very good. All right, Brian, I'm going to play your clip. We'll see if I can figure it out. Here it goes.
Play it.
Mission one. Start.
Just remember, this is around the same time as Diablo.
Okay, so I have an idea. Hold on. It's obviously a light gun game. I got to decide which one. Is it Area 51?
No, it's not actually a light gun. I'll give you the tip. It does sound like a light gun game.
Okay, side-scrolling commando style game.
It is right. There you go. That's one of those two sounds.
I've played this. I know I've played this.
Yes, you did. This was in the arcade, even during this mid-80s. It was a Neo Geo game.
Oh, it's Metal Slug. It's Metal Slug.
There you go. Yeah, Metal Slug. Oh,
I knew it is that. The high-pitched, like, metal sounds or whatever. Yeah. That's totally Metal Slug. Okay.
Metal Slug. Love it.
I get half point. Half point?
Half point. Half point.
Okay. I feel better about that. Well, there you go. That's our game. We like to play it. Hey, if you guys at home have suggestions for games that we can try to fool each other with, you're more than willing, or we're more than willing to take your suggestions. Send them on over to boopshow@gmail.com. That's boopshow@gmail.com. I'm going to read a quick email from a listener. This is Cal. He sent his email to the same address I just gave you, and he said this. I just found a game on Steam yesterday, and oh, by golly gee, is it awesome. Simply, it is like Slay the Spire meets Mad Max out of the wazoo. The game oozes Mad Max and does a really good job telling a post-apocalyptic story. The game is called Nowhere Prophet.
Yeah.
He says it's freaking awesome and I'm having tons of fun. I think you'll dig it, maybe even super dig it. The game is hard, but what super Mad Max universe is supposed to be a cakewalk. I renamed my first hero Nash Maggard, but he died really fast. I barely got out of the solar mines and quickly drowned in a techno swamp. Sorry, buddy. Love all the shows. Keep up the great work. Cal. I don't know what this is. Hadn't heard of it, but I am definitely interested. Yeah, I want it, though.
At first, I thought the name sounded familiar, but then when I saw the screenshots, not so much.
Let's see. Nowhere Prophet on Steam. Currently received. Oh, it came out on the 19th, just barely.
Yeah. It's on the scale. It's on the sale. $22.49.
Oh, look at this. Oh, I may have to play this.
Yeah, this looks pretty cool. I like it. That's a good,
looks like there's
good
a little bit of FTL in there, a little bit of like you said, Slay the Spire. Ooh, it's got good reviews too. All right, yeah, probably gonna want to get this. Early review, only had a few hours so far. It's a wonderful game, very polished for an indie game. Interface is butter smooth and well designed. Zubba, zubba, zubba. Solid, follows the norms of a card game. Anyone familiar with the major card combat game along the lines of Hearthstone or Duelist will find themselves right at home with a story-based approach. Yeah, but I don't... I want it to be a deck builder, not a CCG, but it doesn't really say.
Right. It's interesting. It looks very interesting. I'm kind of down with this.
I'm going to check it out. I have a credit right now on Steam. I'm going to spend it on this.
You have credits?
Yeah.
I'm just going to add it to my wish list. How about that? Then I'll know next week whether you've made a bad choice or if I've made a bad choice.
I have 20-something bucks. 25 bucks, looks like. That's exactly what I need. Yeah, that's exactly what I need. $22.49 is what it's up for now right now. I am totally playing this. Thank you for the recommendation, Cal. Totally appreciate that, dude. That is awesome. Send your emails to boopshow@gmail.com. Send us voicemails at 801-471-0462. Before we get out of here, quick note to those sticking around in the chat room. We are going to give away a couple of codes today. So stay around to the end of the show if you want to win free video games on Steam. They're free. Free.
Free games?
Not a dime. Not a quarter. Wow. Not a penny. Nothing. Free.
Wow.
And anyone can win. Even if you've won recently, it gets reset and you're all eligible as long as you're in the chat room and you're in there talking. You will win. All right. Anything else you can think of, Brian? Have we done it all? What have we done? Anything?
I think we've done so much. We talked right before this show about that Ape Out game that just came out recently from being published by Devolver. It's on the Switch. I think you said it came out in February on Steam. It's currently right now on sale. It looks interesting, about $10, but haven't decided whether I'm going to pick it up or not. I got the demo.
Nothing wrong with the demo. You like demos.
No. Yeah. I like demos. Yeah. Free gaming. Count me in.
Count you in. All right. So that's all coming up here after the show. And of course, like I said, we'll be back next week with a whole new show as well. We hope we see many of you here. Again, sorry for the day delay, but always happy to bring you a show. And if you got
get
any indie
that I looked at.
That's right. And if you got any indie games you guys want to recommend to us, please do. That's what the show is mostly about. That's what we cover. Is a lot of indie stuff, small stuff, weird stuff, stuff that doesn't get front page treatment all the time. We love that. That's our favorite kind of stuff here on The Boop Show. So if you have some of that to recommend, boopshow@gmail.com. That's going to do it for us, for me, for Brian, for all of you.
And Brian again.
And Brian again. Oh, yeah, I'm at Scott Johnson on Twitter. He's the Brian Dunaway. You should follow us there. We have stuff to say. That's going to do it for us.
And watch me on Twitch.
Oh, watch him on Twitch. What's your Twitch channel? What is it? Quick.
Twitch.tv, Brian Dunaway.
Nice. I'm at Frog Pants. Go check it out. See you guys next week.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.
I don't like steam. Neuro urethra. All right, so...